Amen. Well, I had a word drop into my heart this week about the Lord being our sustainer. How many of you are interested in being sustained? Look at your neighbor and say, you are sustainable. Amen. So, Father, we thank you today for your sustaining power, asking you, Lord, for utterance. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and be seated. You know, I looked up the word sustain. I like some of the synonyms for it. It means to be a tower of strength to carry, to cheer up, to support. I like this one, to pop up, to preserve, to keep alive, to keep going, to provide for, to nourish, to feed, to nurture, to endorse, and to approve. Amen. So we know that the Lord is our sustainer, and we know that he always does his part, but he's looking for us to do our part. And so I want to share with you a message today called Keys to Being Kept, or Keys to Being Sustained. And the first one we want to look at is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to back up to verse 3, if you would, up there. We were going to just look at verse 5, but let's start in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope," or a living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now notice, here it is, verse 5. "Who are kept," or who are sustained, amen, "by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, verse 5 in the Amplified says it this way, "Who are being guarded or garrisoned by God's power." And then he says it this way, "through your faith." Point at yourself and say, "through my faith." Now, that word "kept" is a very interesting word. In the Greek, it is pronounced phroreo, and it is literally a military term picturing a sentry or a soldier guarding and protecting against the enemies that would try to gain access. And so what a sentry does is he keeps watch over and he protects from danger and forbids unauthorized access. Well, you and I are in a spiritual combat, are we not? But oh, thank God, our faith in God's power and our faith in God's grace are like sentinels and protectors over our lives. Now, notice with me again, I want to stress this. In the NLT, it says, "and through your faith." Point to yourself and say, "through my faith." Through my faith, God is protecting me by his power. And then let me just quote to you what the Passion says. It says, "through our faith, the mighty power of God is guarding us." Isn't that good to know? Now, it's important for me to bring this point out, because his sustaining power and you being kept and you being guarded does not happen just because you're a Christian. There's no happenstance to it whatsoever. God is emphasizing right now that we must have faith in his keeping power. We must have faith in his sustaining power. And so it begs the question, how do you and I exercise our faith in the power of God? We know that the power of God is everywhere present, but we access his power, we access his sustaining power through the faith that he's given to each and every one of us that's on the inside of us. Every one of you in the auditorium this morning have a measure of mountain-moving faith. So how do we then exercise our faith in the power of God? Well, one way for sure is by believing what he said and saying what he said. In other words, simply speaking God's word. Scriptures like this, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Scriptures like this, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For he has given his sentinels charge over me, and they keep me, protect me, and sustain me in all of my ways. Woo, glory to God. Is it true or is it not that he is upholding all things by the word of his power? So that means he's upholding, he's sustaining you by the word of his power. And that means he's upholding you, he's supporting you, he's supporting you against any opponent, and he's keeping you elevated above it all. And so when I think of the word upholding, I cannot help but think Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, which says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And I'm going to glory to God. I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to protect you with the right hand of my righteousness." The Message translation at the end of this verse says, "I'll hold you steady and I'll keep a firm grip on you." Also, I cannot help but think of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, where he says, "I will not in any degree leave you helpless. I will not leave you without for support. I will never forsake you. I will never relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." Another translation says, "I'll never let you down. I'll never walk off, and I will never leave you." Woo, glory to God. That's good news. The good news is God's grip will never slip. So our first key then to being kept is, let us have faith in the power of God. Now another key that we want to talk about this morning to being kept is found in Psalms 55 and verse 22. And this is so important. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says this, "Cast your burden on the Lord." Not just cast a part of them, but cast all of your cargo, cast all of the spiritual contraband that you are carrying in your life, get rid of that cargo. Unload it. Unload your burdens upon me. And notice what he says. And I will sustain you. Woo, glory to God. I will never permit the righteous to be moved. The Amplified says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it." Releasing the weight of it is the opposite of holding on to it. And he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, to made to slip or fall or fail. Amen. So are you carrying some cargo that you need to unload today? Are you carrying some cares that are weighing you down? You know, Jesus warned us in Mark chapter 4, in that wonderful parable of the sower sows the word. He says, one of the things that will enter in and suffocate the word, or literally choke the word of our life, is the cares, the anxieties, and the worries of this life. Life will always present you with the worst case scenario. But as you look into the perfect law of liberty, you will see God's best case. And God's best case for you and I is to live a carefree, fear-free, anxiety-free life now. Amen? So cast your burden over on the Lord, and he will sustain you. It's an invitation from him to do so. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this, "Casting most of your cares on him." Is that what it says? No, he says, "Casting all your care upon him." Now, why is that? Because he cares for you. because He loves you. He doesn't want you to go through life all fretful and worrying. He doesn't want to look at your future with dismay and despondency. He wants to look at your future with great hope and great faith. And you'll never be able to look at your future with great hope and great faith carrying the cares of this life in your life. Amen. So He says, casting, just do this right now. I cast. I throw. All my burdens. All my cares. I cast them over on you. Amen. He cares for you. He loves you. He is for you. Amen? And then verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the tools that he uses to devour us, is the cares of this life. But now notice with me in verse 9, it says, resist him. Come on, everybody, say, resist him. Resist him steadfast, there it is again, with your faith. Amen. So when the enemy comes knocking on the door of your soul, presenting to you all of these scenarios that would try to tear you down and bring you down, rise up, child of God. Rise up, sister. Rise up, brother, and resist him steadfast with your faith. Oh, come on, somebody. Keep your sword sharp. Keep it fine-tuned. It is the sword of the Spirit which whips the devil and puts him on the run every single time. Shout amen if you can. So resist him. Don't assist him. But resist him steadfast with your faith. Well, I know Pastor Tom has faith, so I'm going to call Pastor Tom up and I want him to resist the devil for me. That's not what the word says. Now, Pastor Tom is a great man of God, and if you call him, he will take his shield of faith along with your shield of faith, and he will take his dominion along with you. But we need to understand it's our responsibility to resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee from us. Amen. So resist him steadfastly in your faith. The NLT in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace. I love this. Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace, there it is, will guard your hearts. That's your sentinel. His peace will guard your hearts, but not only your heart, but your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, when we live this out, when we unload our burdens on the Lord, and instead of worrying, we're praying about everything, the peace of God is literally going to saturate your soul. How many of you could use some saturation of the peace of God that passes all understanding? Oh, amen. I love what the Amplified says. It says, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So our second key today is casting your burdens on the Lord. Key number one is have faith in the power of God. Say it with me, I have faith in the power of God. The power of God is at work in me right now, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. You're activating the power of God. The power of God is working in your mind. The power of God is working in your body. The power of God is working in your finances. Amen?
Amen.
So a key to being kept from lack and sickness and disease and from everything of the curse is have faith in the power of God. And number two, make sure you keep your burdens where they belong. Your burdens don't belong in your life. Cast your burdens over on the Lord. Well, you know what? We're making good progress today. I just preached you 2 points that literally we could have preached a month or two on. But you know what? You're quick and bright and sharp and you get it. Somebody say, I got it. Let's take a praise break right now. Let's worship the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed be the Lord God, who daily loads us with benefits. Now fasten your seatbelts, because this one is not heavy, but this one is very, very important. Key number three. Another major key to being kept and sustained is being committed to the Lord. Our commitment to Jesus is a key to His keeping and sustaining power. God is looking for a bunch of people that will commit their lives to Him. Amen. Now, that word commit, there it means to be loyal, to be faithful. Brenda did a beautiful job on the offering today. She said, a faithful man shall do what? Abound. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. So that's part of your commitment to Christ, is being faithful to Him. Yeah. And being faithful to His word. The word commit also means to be steadfast. It means to be unwavering. And I like this. It means also to be wholeheartedly dedicated. In other words, with all of your heart, you're dedicated to Him. Amen. Did He not, with all of His heart and all of His life, dedicate Himself to you? Yes. So we need to reciprocate that dedication. The character qualities of Christ are on the inside of you. Faithfulness is part of your recreated human spirit. And if you will yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will be dedicated and you will be faithful. So commit your heart and commit your soul. Commit your life to Him. And He will preserve you. And He will keep you. Amen. Can anyone testify this morning of His keeping power in your life? Can anybody just raise a hand and say, I went through some high waters. I went through some difficult times. But the Lord has sustained me. And the Lord has kept me. Ooh, glory to God. I've seen some of you in the midst of the test. I've seen some of you literally go through hell, but you went through hell. You didn't park there. You didn't stay there. You just went through there and you went to the other side. Woo-hoo-hoo, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Testimony after testimony in this house. I'm looking here and I'm looking there. Look what the Lord has done. Woo! He healed your body. He restored your soul. He made you whole. Woo! Glory to God. And He says, I'm not through with you yet. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to thank Him for another 5 seconds. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for your sustaining power. Thank you for your great grace. Amen. And amen. Now the scripture that we want to look at for this point here is found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And notice with me in verse 12. 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, for this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. You know, you've been through some things. You've suffered some things, but you're not ashamed. You're not ashamed. You're not ashamed. You're not disappointed. Now notice this, for I know. For I know in whom I have believed. Paul did not say, I know what I believe. Certainly he knew what he believed, but he said, he took it a step further, I know him. I know in whom I have believed. And as a result of him going through some things, as a result of him some suffering some things, he said this, I'm not ashamed because I know him. And because I know him, I also know the power of his resurrection. Because I know him, I know what he's done. And I know what he can do. Because I know him, I know what he will do. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the which things I also suffer these things, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And this kind of faith brought him to a place of being persuaded. Paul, I believe, is an example of a man of God that we should follow, in that Paul was a man of God that was fully persuaded. Amen. Well, what was he persuaded about? Amen. For I know in whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able. Say with me, my God is able. My God is able. And I am persuaded that he is able. Now notice, to keep. That word keep there means sustain. That word keep there means to protect. It means to support. And Paul said, I am persuaded. What are you persuaded in, Paul? That he is able to keep. Now notice, which I have committed to him against that day. Was Paul committed? Yes. The Apostle Paul was committed to the nth degree. And as a result of his commitment that he had made, he knew God's ability would keep him. Now, I have a question for you, and I don't want to get heavy. I don't want to have you Revy or heavy brother here. But let me ask you something. What have you committed to him? What have you committed to him? Have you committed your life to him? If you have, well, he's able to keep that. He's able to keep your life. He's able for you to live long and live strong and to finish your course with great joy. Amen. Have you committed your life to him? Amen. Have you committed your soul to him? Yes. Now, what is your soul? Your soul is your mind. It's your will. It's your emotions. Sometimes we just need to on bended knee say and pray, Lord, not my will. How many of you know our natural will sometimes is directly opposite to God's supernatural will? That's why we need to hold ourselves in check and say, oh God, not my will. But your will be done. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. In my life. Have you committed your mind to him? Have you disciplined your mind not to wander and to waver? Have you committed your soul to him to such a degree that you stay focused and you stay fixed on him? And the wonders of his person. The wonders of his love. The wonders of his presence. Well, if you've committed your soul to Him, He's well able to keep you in perfect peace.
Yes, He is. Amen.
That's not just peace. That's perfect peace.
Perfect. Yes.
That's a double portion of peace.
Yes.
That's shalom, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing missing, and nothing broken. There are so many peoples whose minds are broken.
That's right.
But if you commit your soul to Him, and this takes some doing on our part, amen? How many of you know we're works in progress? We're His workmanship, but we're still under construction. But God has given us the ability to tap into His keeping power where our minds and where our souls are concerned. And I think a beautiful scripture that goes along with this is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. It says, He will keep you in perfect peace. Now notice, when your mind is stayed on Him. I'm keeping my mind stayed on Him. How about you? Oh, come on. Let's say it together. I'm keeping my mind. I'm keeping my mind stayed on Him. Woo, glory to God. Have you committed your body to Him? Or are you letting your body just do what it wants to do? Well, somebody said, I'm saved. Yeah, but you need to do something with your body. Why is that? Because your body's not saved. Your spirit is saved. Your mind is being renewed. But your body needs to be presented to God every day as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto Him. Which really is our spiritual worship. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. Let's read it together. Ready, read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Have you committed your body to Him? Well, if you have, He's well able to sustain you. And to keep you strong and to keep you healthy. Hallelujah. I love what Paul said. Andre, I love this verse of scripture. In 1 Corinthians 9:27. You know, the apostle Paul knew that there is a battle between the body and the spirit. But the apostle said, you know what? My spirit man is in control of my body. My body is not in control of my spirit.
Yeah, come on now.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe verse 27, here's what Paul said. But I, he's talking about his inner man. But I keep my body where?
Under.
In other words, my body is subject to me. I'm not subject to my body. I keep it under. Now notice this. And I bring it into subjection. I bring it into submission. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Folks, we don't want to be disqualified. We want to finish our course. We want to finish our race qualified, approved by God. And so for you and I to be kept in this capacity in our physical body, it requires a presentation of it to God continually. A wholehearted dedication. Can you say amen? So here's my sincere prayer for myself. Here's my sincere prayer for all of us, each and every one of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And you could go on and on down the list, How about your finances? You committed your finances. All those things. But here's my sincere prayer. And may the very God of peace, may He sanctify you wholly. May He separate you from profane things. May He separate you from things that'll bring you down. When in fact you should be soaring like an eagle. the God of peace, may He sanctify our lives completely. And I pray, God, that our whole spirit and our souls and our bodies will be preserved. That word preserved means sustained.
That's right.
Unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we're honest about it, each and every one of us in this auditorium have had this thought come to us. You may think from time to time, how am I going to make it through this thing? Anybody ever been there? How am I going to make it through? How am I going to make it through this stack of bills? How am I going to make it through this medical diagnosis that I just received last week? How am I going to make it through the battles that I'm facing in my family? How? The question is not how. The question is who. Come on now. Whose report are we going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. I tell you what, the same God who brought you through and sustained you in past years and in past decades is the same God that does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His sustaining power has kept you and will keep you, and you're going to make it. You're going to make it.
Amen.
I'm going to make it. Say it to me, I'm going to make it. Where are we going? We're going to the finish line, brother. We're heading all the way to the finish line. And the only way we're going to make it, with our eyes on Him. Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. And then last but not least, and this is our fourth and final key. We're doing good because it's 11:08. Somebody said, amen. Let's look at another big key to being kept and sustained from David's life. Did David know anything about his sustaining power? God brought him out of a cave when they were after him and meant to do him harm. God brought David out of the sheepfold into the arena of slaying Goliath.
Amen.
David was a man of God who knew that he had a covenant with God. And did you know you're a man of God?
Yes.
You're a woman of God? And listen, the same covenant that David had, you have. But not only the same, you have a better covenant. Say with me, I have a better covenant, and it is established upon better promises. So let's look at another key to being kept and sustained from David's life. Turn with me to Psalms 3, please. The third psalm. This is a psalm of David. If you have your Bible, it might say this in your Bible. This is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? That's not really the kind of increase we're after. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for that kind of increase. But just by virtue of being born of God, a child of God, you're going to suffer some persecution. Because, yes, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. And if you're not suffering persecution, you need to check up with your living godly or not. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there be which say of my soul, many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, hey, there's no help for him in God. You may have some relatives right now that are saying that about you. There's just no hope. There's just no help for that person in God. Verse 3. He's starting to get tuned up here. But. Everyone say, but. He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield. You're a sentinel. You're a protector from danger. And those that trouble me have no access because you're my shield. You're my fortress. In you I trust. You are a shield for me. Now notice this. You're my glory. And you are the lifter up of my head. Come on, everybody. Just kind of lift up your head and look up and say, Lord, you're a shield for me. You are my glory. And you are the lifter up of my head. Now we're going to get into this fourth point right here. In verse 4, a key to being kept and sustained. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. How many of you have ever just cried out? Cried out to the Lord. The word call there and cry there means to be. To call unto the Lord for help. To summon Him. To invite Him. It is an invitation for Him to invade your situation. Oh, Jesus. To invite. To call for Him. Call upon the Lord. And He will hear you. Call upon the Lord. And He will answer you. Sometimes the most spiritual prayer that you can pray is, help, Lord. But I do not believe that this is a cry of unbelief. I believe this is a summons. This is a cry from a man of God who did know his God. And who had brought him through time and time again. Our fourth key is this. Call upon Him in the day of your trouble. Call upon Him. Invite Him. Summon Him. See, what David did is he called upon the rock of his salvation. He knew the rock that was higher than this increased trouble that was surrounding him. So he refused to look around. He looked up. Oh, Jesus. He called. I call upon the rock of my salvation. I call upon the stone that the builders rejected. I'm standing on the rock. Call upon Him. Call upon Him. Cry out to Him. Now notice, this is great. Look what happened in verse 5. He said, after I called upon Him, I laid down. And what did I do? I slept. The point is this. After he called upon Him, he laid down and he slept. And here's a word. We must rest in the middle of a test. Look at your look at your neighbor and say, I must rest, and you must rest in the middle of a test. For it's true, Jimmy, they which have believed have entered into rest, refreshment, revival, and restoration. Notice this. I called upon Him and I laid down and I slept. Then I woke up. What happened? Say it with me. For the Lord sustained me. I looked up that word sustained in that context. Basically, he said, I woke up refreshed.
Amen.
I woke up revived. And I woke up sustained. And we can do what David did. We can call upon him. We can rest in him. And let him refresh.
Yes. Thank you.
Revive. And sustain us.
Yes.
Lift up your hands right now and say, I call upon you.
I cry unto you.
In the midst of the test. I'm asking you for supernatural divine intervention. Into my current situation. And by the grace of God. I enter into rest. And I believe. That I receive. Your sustaining power. Woo, glory to God. These are four simple keys to you being sustained and you being kept. Number one, have faith in the power of God. Number two, cast your burdens and keep your burdens over on the Lord. Come on, somebody. Who remembers what number three is? Huh? Do what?
Being committed
to Christ. See, I forgot myself, so I was asking you for help. Yeah, thank you. And then number four, and Pastor Tom, if you'd come. Number four, amen?
Amen.
Cry unto the Lord. Enter into rest. And He will sustain you, and He will keep you, and He will saturate your life with His great grace and His great goodness. That's my message for you today. I hope you receive it. Say with me,
I am.
I'm a doer of the Word of God. Amen. My beautiful wife is popping up. Amen. She sustains me. She pops up. Pop
Hallelujah.
Up, sister.
Well, I'm not trying to add, but this just kept coming up in my heart because, you know, I like to look at the scriptures in different translations.
Yeah.
And he was reading out of Psalms chapter 3. And, of course, verse 3 is that he's the glory and the lifter of our head. In the Passion, it says, you take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You lift my head. And I looked at the little notation there. In the time of David, to lift up the head signified acquittal when judged, being freed from the prison of shame.
Come on.
And it was just so strong in me. Another key to you being sustained is you have to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
You have to know that He has acquitted you from judgment. From judgment of other people. From judging yourself.
Yeah.
And there are people in here today that you just continually are beating yourself up.
Come on.
Over your past mistakes and your past failures. When you do that, you're getting out from under the sustaining power of God.
Yes.
The Spirit of God is just saying today, it's over. It's over. Settle it that it's under the blood of Jesus. If you have asked Him to forgive you, then you need to forgive yourself and get out from under. It even said it like this, be freed from the prison of shame.
Yeah.
Even if you were the one that was at fault, even if you were that one that made a mistake, even in relationships that caused even perhaps a divorce, you can't go back. All you need to do is look forward, ask Him to forgive you and receive His grace. Receive His forgiveness. Don't allow yourself to become a prisoner of shame. He bore our griefs. He took our shame. Hallelujah. So in the name of Jesus, I think we all should just stand up. And if you receive, I know you received that word that we heard from Pastor Mark. And some of you right now, you need to receive that word that the Lord has just spoken. You don't need to come forward and have hands laid on you, but you do need to lift up your hands and you do need to open your heart and say, Lord, I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. I let go of the past. I'm not going to live back there any longer. I'm going to press toward my bright future. I'm going to be sustained and upheld by your grace and by your power. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
What a great day we're having. What a great day we're having. You know, there's no better time in a service like this than just make some adjustments. You know, if you've fallen a little bit short in faith in the power of God, get back up. Start back up. Start confessing the word. Amen. If you haven't been as dedicated wholeheartedly that the Lord wants you to be, just get back up. Say, Lord, forgive me. I've been kind of slouching around. But today marks a brand new day. How many of you want to recommit to Christ today? Just raise your hand. Oh, hallelujah. Just say with me, I commit my life. I commit my heart. I commit my soul. I commit my body. I commit it all to you, Lord. Now place a hand over your heart and say, Father, in Jesus' name, by your Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help me to stay in the committed zone. In the name of Jesus, I believe I receive it.